I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, and welcome to World Cricket Show Ashes Daily, reporting on the first day from Brisbane. I'm Adam Bayfield, and with me is Tony Kerr.
Okay, you all right?
I'm good, Tane. We're doing this over Zoom. No video, just audio. I think you're in bed.
Yeah, I'm in bed,
You were like, I won't turn the video on just because, you know, the internet's a bit slow, the internet will drop out, but I'm wondering what kind of state you're in.
Yeah, not too bad. The odd the hair looks like one of those sort of troll dolls. If you can picture that. So yeah. I just thought, you know, I was worried that you would take a screen grab and post it. So there we go.
I would have done, yeah. I had my finger poised over the screenshot button. But presumably this is because you've been up all night. You've been up all night watching the cricket.
Well, I made a commitment to stay up until we were four down. So I think I was in bed by about 1:15.
Yeah. bed by 12:06.
That was the line I was going to draw. But yeah, feeling a little under the weather today, but not purely cricket related. So there we go. What a gift we're giving to the world, because the world just needs another Ashes Daily podcast, really. But you know, when you've got the Twitter handle, when you've been bestowed with that power, you know, it's almost our responsibility to use it. That being said, we've both tried to log in to at Ashes Daily on Twitter, which we started. Well, just a reminder, the bio reads a daily podcast to accompany the World Cricket Show through the 2010-11 Ashes series. So it's really up to date. But I feel like it's one of those we've now. You know, you hear those stories about people who've got like several Bitcoin on a hard drive from like 10 years ago that they just can't access.
It's exactly like that, yeah, because we can't get into it. Neither of us can remember the password.
And you know, how much would BT Sport pay for that? I mean, it's got to be worth literally dozens of pounds. So, yeah, if we can, it'll probably take us the whole series to hack back into Ashes Daily on Twitter. So.
It's exactly like those Bitcoin stories, except, you know, worth not as much money as that. but yeah, I did spot that BT Sports breakfast show is called Ashes Daily. The Guardian are doing Ashes Daily. Final Word are doing Ashes Daily. But, you know, we're the original and we're bringing it back for the first time in 11 years. We really kept it up consistently throughout that time. So it's surprising that anyone else felt they could take the name. We're doing it, Tone. We you know, we talked about it. I was skeptical that it would happen, but here we go. We are at least doing one episode of Ashes Daily. So let's talk about it. Brisbane, day one, fairly grim. is that how you'd sum it up?
Yeah, I mean, you can say that, couldn't you? Yeah, you can say that. Could they have shown the replay of the Burns wicket any more times? I mean, I didn't see it all the way. As I say, I clocked off a little after Stokes fell. Yeah, by which time Fox had probably shown the Burns wicket, I reckon, 20 times. So yeah, that's now kind of burnt onto my memory. I don't think I'll ever be able to escape the noise of that. And the period of time between Matt Smith saying, here we go, whatever, like first ball of the Ashes to the stumps clattering. I mean, it's like scientists will be, it's like the sort of, I don't know, like the Big Bang. It was just like, it just happened in an absolute split second. There was no time to get your seats, really, was there? It was, it was something else.
Oh, yeah, and as always happens, as England fans, we were kind of talking ourselves into feeling more and more optimistic the closer we got to the start. And I was texting my brother-in-law and, you know, we're both sort of saying, do you know what? I'm actually starting to think that just maybe, you know, and then literally ball one, it's like, oh no, it just, you know, but that that balloon is popped. I mean, is it the new? I do feel bad for Rory Burns, by the way, because this is whatever happens, that one moment will define his career forever. You know, that's really tough for him. But, you know, is this the new Harmison moment? You know, is it that's the only thing I can really compare it to, is that Steve Harmison first ball wide in 2006.
Yeah, I mean, I think it possibly is. I suppose if England go on to win the series in either sort of triumphant fashion or they edge it in a thriller, then it will be a footnote, won't it? But there's a fairly steady chance now that Australia go on to win. I mean, it's ridiculous, isn't it? We've had people sort of writing off the series after one ball, but it's tough to feel too confident at this stage. I do feel slightly sorry for him because, it was quite a decent ball. I know on commentary, Warne, I think, is pretty much, who has been digging out Stark, I think, hasn't he? Was basically like, full toss on leg stump, that should be going for four. I mean, it did swing in quite a lot to my eye. And obviously Burns, that's just what he does. His front foot, I mean, it does kind of, it sort of sticks across him almost like a baby deer, isn't it? So kind of, it just doesn't look very balanced. It comes across. And obviously, you know, first ball of a hype series, you know, all the tension and nerves and everything. And then Stark chucks down what to me was a pretty good ball to throw up first. So I feel a little bit sorry for him. I mean, that is just heartbreaking.
It could have been a plan, couldn't it? It could have been a setup for Burns, because as you say, that is a technical thing that he has. But that, and they did kind of suggest that on commentary at one point, that might be generous. I don't know. We'll see if they continue that. If that is a plan, if they continue with that throughout the rest of the series. But you know, I'm a little bit in between you and Warne. I think it was a good ball, but he probably should have dealt with it. But it is, as you say, it's the moment, the situation. And he may have just got a little bit unlucky and just missed it. But it's pretty brutal, isn't it? And I obviously feel, as I say, I feel really bad for him. It will haunt him, but it shouldn't. It's not the same as that Harmison moment, in that obviously the Harmison moment just spoke to this complete, like, that just mentally he and England were just nowhere. Whereas this, as you say, this was a good ball from a fast bowler. It's completely different, but just in terms of like setting the tone and just the any kind of hope and expectation just exploding in that moment, it just does feel very ominous. But as you say, it is only one day, one innings, and we may look back and think, oh yeah, do you remember that? Do you remember when Burns got out first ball? But there's a long, long way to go. But it just feels like depressingly familiar at this point. What did you think about the decision at the toss? You know, Joe Root obviously winning the toss and electing to bat. What did you think about that?
Given
the conditions.
I would rather have us. Yeah, I'd rather have seen us bowl for sure. I think it was definitely the wrong decision, and it felt like the wrong decision in that moment too. I don't think that's just hindsight. When you look at the balance of the two sides and particularly England's strength and weaknesses, and, you know, people, you know, calling it one of the worst Ashes batting lineups of all time. I mean, I don't know, that seems probably a touch harsh, but I don't know. It just seems like putting yourself in the firing line completely undercooked. Yeah. I'd have rather seen us bowl. Obviously the weather, and the pitch conditions, you know, there was some debate about what either captain would do, and Cummins, you know, said he would have also had a bat, but it was, you know, a good toss to lose, as the cliche goes. But given the rain around, given all that stuff, we should have just had a bowl. And even if Australia had been, you know, 300, well, I suppose it was rain, wasn't it? If Australia had been like 250 for two, you'd probably still have taken it. You'd be like, oh, well, you know.
You'd probably still rather be in that position than in this one, wouldn't you? But, you know, because at least there's the opportunities for a comeback, whereas this feels like it's going to take something pretty extraordinary for England not to lose now. But that's the ghost of NASA, isn't it? That's, I think that's got to be a big part of it. That, you know, obviously NASA so famously won the toss and chose to bowl at the Gabba in 2002, and that still haunts him. That's one of the defining things of his career, at least as a captain, because that, you know, that was entirely the wrong decision. And it's, so that presumably does play on the mind, you know, of Joe Root and the England setup. You know, can you, it feels very brave to win the toss and bowl at the Gabba given the history, but given the conditions, and as you say, the relative strengths of the two teams, it did feel like a win the toss and bowl morning. But that said, I agree with you. I think it probably, in some senses, it was a really good toss to lose, which is a cliche, but I think true in this case, because yeah, Australia could quite easily, if they were batting, have been two down at the close, and then they would have been getting a lot of, Joe Root would have been getting a lot of stick for that. So it was a tough decision. And what about the selection? Yet again, England gets skittled out, and all the talk is over the selection of the bowling attack. But obviously, Stuart Broad's left out. What did he make of that?
Look, I didn't mind it. We'll see how England's bowlers get on tonight. Tomorrow.
What day is it?
What do you mean, what day is it?
Sorry, our easy back and forth banter doesn't work quite as well on Zoom, does it? You know, I was kind of suggesting, I've forgotten what day it is already.
So. Yeah, true. Okay. Like, what's the answer?
It's good to have to explain the joke.
Yeah, it's a great joke. Great guy.
What do you mean, what day is it?
I thought you were having a go. I don't. When you look at that bowling lineup for England, we'll see how they get on tomorrow. I don't necessarily mind that. I don't know. There's obviously, you know, people saying things like, "Oh, you know, England have left out 1,100 Test wickets and all this kind of stuff." Now, Anderson obviously couldn't play; it wasn't available. I know there's all the stuff about, you know, there's the Broad Warner stuff, and you know, he's obviously a big competitor, but I don't know. I just think it's too early to make a call on that.
Yeah, I thought it was surprising. I was definitely surprised when I saw they'd left him out. I'm glad they picked Leach. You know, a lot of people were saying Phil Tufnell was absolutely apoplectic that they picked Jack Leach and left out Broad. But for me, the choice, I almost always want them to pick a spinner, but for me, the choice was Broad or Wokes, and I was a bit surprised they picked Wokes. But then, as someone pointed out to me on Twitter, you know, Wokes possibly selected as much for his batting as his bowling, so that does make sense to strengthen the tail. But yeah, I was surprised, but I don't think it's like a staggering, jaw-dropping decision in the way that some people seem to think. Like, yeah, Broad obviously was superb, particularly against Warner in 2019. 18 months ago, Broad was bowling as well as he ever has, but this year, maybe not quite so much. And, is he one of England's first choice bowlers now? Probably not, actually, because I think England's first choice attack from this squad is Anderson, Wood and Robinson. So I don't think, you know, obviously then the fact that Anderson isn't playing here, it is surprising and to leave out all that experience, but I don't think it's, you know, I don't think that's going to be where this game is won and lost at all. What I would say though is if they, because the BBC seemed to be suggesting that the decision was made with a view to later in the series, i.e. that it's almost like a rotation decision. And if that's the case, that is strange, because England, you would think England have got to get a result here in Brisbane if they're going to have any chance in this series. But like, as in, if they go 1-0 down, it could very easily get away from them. So you'd think, surely pick your absolute strongest team you can right now. But I don't think that would be the case. I'm assuming that they've picked this team because they think it's, you know, they picked this attack because they think it's the best one for these conditions. And you know, I'm sure Broad will play a part later in the series, but I don't think it would be about rotation, although wouldn't necessarily put it past them. But yeah, I don't know. It was not a great start for England. I think that's fair to say. It's feeling a bit ominous for the rest of the series, but we'll see. You know, another cliche. You can't really tell until both teams have batted. But if it gets to 2 in the morning, I mean, how far do you think? You said you'd stay up till England were four down. What target are you setting for yourself in Australia batting?
Yeah, do you know what? I've not thought that far ahead yet. We'll see.
It's tough. I'm already absolutely shattered. I've got quite a long in front of me. Like one day in, I'm like, I just can't do this.
Nah, it's too much. I think, I think if Australia get to 50 without loss, I'll go to bed, I think.
As you said, there's such a long time between the news and the start of play.
They've got to find a way to bring it forward half an hour, because I was half an hour, like... I have to say, like the at least all the sort of Downing Street Christmas party stuff kept the ball rolling until the Ashes started, if nothing else.
I watched the press preview on Sky News twice.
It is tough. It is tough. The
they actually are bringing it forward half an hour tonight. They think because of the rain today or the rain last night. It is going to start 11:30 tonight. Our time.
Bloody perfect then. The question I want to know is, did you find your doona?
I did find the doona. Yeah, I found several doonas actually, because it was absolutely bloody freezing. I got a doona and a Christmas blanket, so I'm all sorted. Got my cereal. So yeah, well anyway, we're going to be back tomorrow, aren't we, with more Ashes dailies. You're gonna be hosting them in future, Tane. But I'm at home. I'm not working today, so I'm just sat in my living room with my laptop. But going forward, the way we're gonna do this, because it's the only way that I could squeeze this in, is we're gonna record on my commute to work. So I'm lucky enough to be able to walk to work. So I've got about a 20-minute walk. So I'll be on my phone with my AirPods in, talking to you. So. That means while I'm kind of dodging traffic and so on, you're going to be hosting. Are you ready? Are you feeling prepared?
I mean, that's a reason for people to tune in to click listen, is it, above anything else? Let's just see how it goes.
Car crash.
Yeah, I'll give my best shot. I'm a bit undercooked, but we'll be all right. I think we'll get through it.
Speaking of undercooked, actually, sorry, we've I know we said we'd only do like 10 minutes, I think we've done about 20, but. Just before we go, one thing we haven't said is, you know, maybe we shouldn't be too harsh on it. Like, it's very depressing and it's a familiar story and, you know, this can't explain everything. But given that they've had literally zero preparation, and I know Australia didn't really either, but it's different when they're at home and that they, you know, they have been playing a bit of domestic cricket and so on. It's a pretty tough ask for England to walk out, for those batsmen to walk out against Stark, Hazelwood and Cummins, with no Red Bull cricket for months and expect them to succeed. So, you know, we should possibly go a little bit easy. I mean, there's questions to ask, you know, sort of beyond the team about how that's happened, but you know, possibly, and I don't think we have, but, you know, it possibly unfair to kind of lay into any individuals here.
Yeah, and I'm sure there'll be, you know, you'll be delivering a full Bayfield report after the 5-0, but the obviously the pandemic situation, you know, hasn't made life easy, has it? The World T20 happening when it did, the IPL, all this kind of stuff. Like, there's really not been any build up whatsoever. So yeah, I kind of completely agree. It makes a mockery of the whole thing of like Silverwood, you know, of England's like resting and rotating players last winter when, I mean, they literally may as well have not bothered, really. So
yeah. Yeah, that is true. Yeah, it does cast that in a very different light. Anyway, fast forward to Ashes Daily 2 tomorrow, and I'll be going, Ollie Pope, useless. Get him out.
Maybe that's just, if we've learned anything from this pandemic that we can take into the next one is, you know, don't rest and rotate your test squad. So there we go. Put that in the report.
It's good to learn lessons. It's good to learn lessons, isn't it?
Lessons learned.
All right. Okay, let's call it a day. Call it a night. Were you about to host? Have you starting to think you're the host already?
That's getting ahead of myself there. Yeah.
All right. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah. Have a good one.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.